This is the Home Base Travel Agent Show, show number 379.
In the fishing areas, in the lake area, Lake Balaton or the Danube River area, you get a lot of people cooking what's called halaslay. It's a fish soup that's, when they cook the goulash outside and the fish soup, it's like the cauldron, like a witch's cauldron.
Welcome to the Home Base Travel Agent Show. The show is brought to you by Barry Kantz and Laureen Romero. And Laureen has returned from her vacation in Hawaii. And we just recorded an interview last week for next month. So we're going to hold that interview for the June show. However, a few months ago, I was contacted by a listener who is very, very familiar with the country of Hungary. And she asked if I'd be interested in a topic of Hungary for the show. And of course I was. So I made contact with this listener. Her name's Diane Dobry. And I connected and we recorded today's show. And today's show's topic is all about Hungary. And Hungary is a great place for you to have your clients travel to. It's a great place if you want to specialize in a location. And most of all, it's a wonderful place to visit and a wonderful place to vacation. So hopefully today you are going to learn a lot more about Hungary. Well, the Home Base Travel Agent Show is a proud affiliate of the National Association of Career Travel Agents, NACTA, N-A-C-T-A. And I want to mention that the NACTA conference this year is in Anchorage, Alaska, beginning September 13th and running through September 16th. Now, you don't want to miss this conference because it has a whole lot of seminars and educational events that really will add to your travel agent knowledge. Plus, there's some really neat things that you can do while you're there, so you don't want to miss that. Now, you have to be a member of NACTA to attend this conference, and you can learn more about that by going to NACTA.com, N-A-C-T-A.com. And just hover over the events tab and then click on annual conference. Now for us, you can find our website at www.hometravelagent.net, or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/HBTAS, and HBTAS are the initials for the Home Base Travel Agent Show. Now, Laureen and I publish the show monthly, and we'd love to have your feedback, and you can email me at barry@hometravelagent.net. And, of course, Coco, once again, has to be a part of the show as well, and that's our multi-poo. And I don't know what he's barking at, but he's out there barking at something as he likes to do. Actually, I think he loves to bark at things. So, anyhow, the official notice here is that we take no compensation for having guests on our show or recommending their products. Our guests are invited to the show because Laurie and I believe that they offer something of value for the travel professional. Okay, enough said. Let's get on with Diane Dobry and Hungary. Here we go. Welcome. We have as a guest today someone that specializes in Hungary because her great-grandparents came from Hungary, and she has developed an interest and has lived in Hungary, speaks the language to some degree. And you know, Hungary is a fascinating place because for so long it was under communist rule and we didn't know too much about it. And so it's a mystery to a lot of us, but it's a beautiful place, as you'll hear from Diane. And we have Diane Dobry here with us, and she is all about Hungary. She has a wonderful Facebook page that we'll talk about where you can learn more. But I want to go ahead and say hello, Diane. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. So maybe a little background on your connection to Hungary. Like I said, your great-grandparents were there. So what happened? How did you get connected to Hungary?
Well, I always kind of had it on the back burner because I knew my great-grandparents came from there, but I felt like I never thought I was going to ever visit Hungary, especially because it was communist most of my growing up part of my life. And I was a student at Columbia University considering doing a doctorate on Hungarian media because I wanted to go to a place that had kind of a shift in their media coverage. And I happened to meet a bartender at a local place near Columbia University who was Hungarian. So we started chatting and talking, and he eventually said he was going back to Hungary, invited me to come and visit his family there, and I went on New Year's Eve 2003 and experienced that whole thing, which is like a it's like a Mardi Gras in Budapest. And I went back the following summer to do some a research study on their television and media. And after that, I never ended up doing that study. I did a different dissertation topic, but I became a Hungarian wine importer to the US for 3 years. So I would go back there every year, traveling around to different wineries, tasting sometimes 70 wines a day to see which ones I liked best. So I kind of became a little bit of an expert on Hungarian wines as well, which seems to be coming up a little bit more as you see, as you read about wine, you read wine magazines, they're starting to talk a little bit more about Hungarian wines. So that's kind of my how I got introduced to it. And I eventually ended up working there for a year teaching English and American studies at a college.
Okay, then that kind of brings us up to present day. So today, what are you doing with Hungary?
Well, I've been doing a lot of freelance writing in the last year and a half, and particularly about tourism. I'm living in Florida right now. I do writing about the local area here and the tourism to the Nature Coast. But I will be traveling to Hungary for the summer and traveling around there and the regions nearby. And I will be taking a Viking River cruise as well. But I will be posting to my Facebook page, which is called Getting Hungary, the country, Hungary. And I have an Instagram, the same name, Getting Hungary. I have a Tumblr blog, Getting Hungary. It's HTTP, whatever, slash slash gettinghungary.tumblr.com. I have a Twitter, which is at Hungary 2017. So I'm going to be posting about my experiences. I want to do some Facebook Live video about some of the things I'm doing. I'll be going to spas. I'll be going to restaurants. I'll be staying in a yurt hotel or two. And a lot of Hollywood producers and directors go to Budapest to create generic European backdrops because Budapest gives a lot of initiatives to filmmakers. So they have a movie studio just outside of Budapest, and I'll be doing a tour of that, doing some winery tours, and just generally recording and writing about and posting photos and about my experiences this summer. And as a, I'm a 60-year-old woman, so I'm going to have a little bit of a focus on people over 50, over 55 traveling in this area. It's a beautiful country. There's a lot to see architecturally, culturally, and summer in Hungary is just a lot of fun.
I have to go back a little bit. I don't know what a yurt hotel is. What is that?
A yurt hotel is, yurts are these big tents that nomads always would, construct in the desert. They kind of have this like X, these wooden X kind of stretchable structures that they put the canvas over, and they're very large. You can people actually are buying them to live in as like tiny houses in the US, but these yurt hotels are popping up all around, and you can stay in the tent. They have these either one person, two people, or up to eight people sometimes can stay in these yurts. One place I'll be staying is kind of more on the camping, kind of more rustic. Another one is more high-end lodge with horseback riding on the property. So They do have restaurants as well nearby that you can eat at or pay per meal that you want to use or have enjoy. I don't know if they have cooking facilities, but I'm gonna see.
Yeah, as soon as you started talking about yurts and tents, it popped into my mind that, oh yeah, I know what those are because I've been to a few campgrounds where they've had signs pointing you towards the yurt area. So I never
And
wandered around that area, but I kind of knew what they were. But
they're huge. They have usually these big, beds with the netting around them or the canopy type beds, and just very large space. Sometimes they're up to 200 square feet.
now, what is the climate like in Hungary? It has to be fairly temperate to grow grapes and have wine. What would people expect during the different seasons?
Well, I've been going there since 2003, and I've mostly gone in the summertime. It's very dry, even though it does get warm. Or in my past experience, it has been always pretty warm and but comfortably dry and cooler at night. The last couple of times I went, the temperatures in Europe generally were much hotter than normal. So I have seen more air conditioning units in, public places, whereas before, I don't know, before 2005, I didn't really see much as far as air conditioning. There weren't even fans.
And what always fascinates me about traveling in a different culture is food. What is it about Hungarian food that's different than what we might see here, for instance, in the US?
Well, what I always noticed for breakfast was they like Germans will have sandwiches for breakfast, deli meats with rolls, but they will have sometimes pastries. Little mini strudels. When I was living there, I would go to a pastry shop that you could see people getting pizza for breakfast or these sandwiches for breakfast, and I would get, a little apple strudel with an espresso or something. So they do have a little bit of a wide range. When I was teaching, I would ask my students, "Well, what do you eat for breakfast?" "Sandwiches." I said, "What do you eat for your?" They have a late morning meal, sandwiches, and then they have their big meal at noon. They almost always have soup, and their soups are excellent. So you're probably familiar with goulash,
Oh yeah.
but in the fishing areas, in the lake area, Lake Balaton or the Danube River area, you get a lot of people cooking what's called halászlé. It's a fish soup that's when they cook the goulash outside and the fish soup, it's like the cauldron, like a witch's cauldron, with the fire, open fire under a cauldron.
Yeah, I
And
saw a picture of that on your Facebook page. That was interesting. You said most people or people cook outside a lot there.
yeah, in the summer, a cookout, a Hungarian cookout is usually a cauldron cookout. Their food history tends to be soups or stews, and I mean that's the traditional. You can go to what's called a csárda, and they're very traditional Hungarian foods where there's a lot of pork. So they will have, porks kind of meals, or maybe even similar to Wiener Schnitzel. Kind of cutlets, but they do also have a lot of deer meat, venison, wild boor, that kind of thing. There, things like duck, where you wouldn't necessarily get that in the US at a restaurant. Their bread is, I mean, it's addictive. If you're a bread lover, it's so impossible to avoid wanting to try their breads.
I'm a carbohydrate lover of any kind. I've never met a carb that I didn't like.
I know. Well, their bread's a full loaf is just enormous. It can make up like four large loaves in one of their loaves, full loaves. I'm trying to think what else, but I've gone to gourmet food festivals there, which tend to take place in the summer. Again, you have the gourmet food festival in Budapest in June, and there's a place called Villa Bagatelle in Budapest in the on the Buda side, where I went there and took a picture of the front of the building at one time, and I didn't know what the cars were, but my friend saw the picture and said, "Whose Bentley is that? Yours?" And I was like, "Oh, I hadn't noticed." But they have really gourmet little sandwiches in a glass jar, so it's kind of a deconstructed sandwich put into a jar that you eat with a spoon. They have just salad is fairly new there. When I first went in 2004, salad was not, the lettuce thing was not a common. It was more of the cabbage kinds of coleslaw kind of thing. Now you can get really nice salads there. Their vegetables are great. They're an agricultural country, so they have really great vegetables, fresh.
In fact, but before we started the recording, you told me that you've taken students there on agricultural tours.
Yeah, I was teaching an online international class with a professor from Hungary, a professor of viticulture, and we were doing a class on wines of New York State and wines of Hungary. Since I had been a Hungarian wine importer, I was able to teach the New York students about that. And his class was Hungarian students learning about New York wines. And after that online class was done, I had a 2-week class. It was alumni and students going to Hungary. To learn about the dairy industry there, goat farming. We went to a beekeeper. What else did we do? Actually, an artificial insemination place where they bred dairy cows. All kinds of places, like even wineries, fish. We took them out to different restaurants for the culinary experience because the school also taught culinary arts.
Interesting. And so you've had some experience with tours, and I asked you this before we started the recording, but you would be available to help travel agents create a tour for Hungary?
Sure, I'm happy to be a consultant on putting together a tour based on a specific need. I mean, they're very famous for their thermal baths and spas. They have different types of spas all over the country. Some are high-end, some are family-oriented, and as well as wineries. So I know I could do a just a, and that would be a typical tour, spas and wineries. Or a tour of Budapest. But if somebody were interested in an architectural tour or a tour of their national parks, they also have a lot of caves, cave tours where they have an underground river that you can go in on boats underground in a national park. They have a park on the other side of the country, more eastern, that is open land, has gray cattle, Mongalitsa pigs. And Mongalitsa pigs are, gourmet. If you are in the US and you get bacon made from, the Mongalitsa pig, it's very expensive and high end, but they are raising them there, and they put on these horse shows. So you go out in this little cart, almost like a covered wagon kind of thing, and you see these men in these costumes doing these all these horse related entertainment, riding five horses, a man standing up on horses riding five horses, or and they let people I think they when we went on that tour, they let people ride the horses a little bit. They kind of walked them around, and they gave us lunch in the park, a veal stew. So it's very interesting because it's very traditional culture. They're very much of a horse related, horse and archery related culture. And in fact, Matt Damon took archery lessons in Hungary to prepare for a film.
I'll be darned. You say archery, that reminds me of the Hunger Games and Katniss
Yeah.
and
And what's mentioning that Jennifer Lawrence is now there making a movie. So, I mean, when I've been there, Brad Pitt's been there, and just a lot of Tom Hanks recently made a film there. Ron Howard's been there. So, yeah, it's very possible in Budapest to run into an American film star.
Yeah, once again, I just think that Hungary is so, I don't know, underutilized in terms of tourism and travel from the United States to Hungary. And I think there's a lot of opportunity there. And you mentioned Viking River cruises, and for travel agents, you know, what an opportunity for you to offer a deeper dive into Hungary, that would be a post, a pre or post part of a Viking River cruise. I think that would be wonderful.
Absolutely. Well, you can see when you watch the Viking River Cruise commercials, the big building with the red dome top with the white spires coming up, that's the Hungarian Parliament. And it's, I believe, one of the biggest parliament buildings in Europe. It was built in 1896 for a big and a lot of their buildings were built in 1896 for a millennial celebration. They weren't exactly sure when their country began, so they chose the year 896 and celebrated its millennium in 1896. And a lot of their buildings or statues or structures are 96 meters high to celebrate that year.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, the photos that I've seen of Hungary, the architecture is really fascinating.
Yeah, especially when you see that parliament building, you know, that's just representative, but there are still so many buildings. In fact, I did a post on my Facebook page of how many Hungarian buildings are more than 100 years old, and they have a tour day of Budapest 100 where they have tours of some of these older buildings. And they do also have great museums there that give a lot of history of Hungary. Of what Hungarians have gone through with all the, you know, the wars and stuff. But if you're a history buff, there is a lot to learn there as well.
Interesting, yeah. So you're heading out to Hungary here, not in a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, pretty soon.
By mid-June, I'm going to stay there as long as I can legally stay as a tourist, and so I'll be there from mid-June to just after Labor Day and posting, blogging. I will be writing for my local paper in Florida, and I will be doing some video, as I mentioned. And if any of your listeners wants to sponsor a post or a blog post or a video recording, and they want me to mention their service and what they do, I would be happy to do that. We can have a talk. They can write to me on my my email address I can give is DobryDF. It's DobryDF, D as in David, F as in Frank, at gmail.com, and that's my personal email. And we can have a talk about anybody who wants to sponsor one of the programming, social media programs that I put together. And if anybody would like to work with me on putting together a brochure or some kind of tours, I'd be happy to do that as well.
Yeah, that sounds great. You know, I think, like I mentioned earlier, there is an opportunity here for some wonderful tours in Hungary. Just excellent things to do there, the food and the people and the culture and the architecture and the history and the whole thing that I think is just underutilized from people in the US.
Yeah. In fact, there's even a what was a hospital during World War II is underground, under the castle region in Budapest that unfortunately was discovered by the Russians, and the people who were in there were trapped by them. But it's still used as a museum to show what was under there, what people did during the wars in Hungary. There's a lot about the wars. So for historic perspective, that's why I think schools, alumni groups, student groups, colleges and universities would really do well with having a tour to Hungary. A lot of them go to, France or Italy or, Denmark, that kind of thing, and they avoid Hungary for some reason, and I think it's a mistake because Hungary has been through, multiple wars, and they have such a
Well,
long history.
very, very resilient people. I got to say that.
Absolutely. And creative. I mean, like the Rubik's Cube was created in Hungary. What is it? The car, the first automobile was designed by a Hungarian. There's a video that I have on my Facebook page of all the things that Hungarians have created. In fact, they have a bus that goes around the city, and then it turns into a boat and it goes down into the Danube called the River Ride. So you can drive around in the bus, and then all of a sudden it heads right into the water and you're on the Danube.
Now, I don't know what it is why people aren't traveling to Hungary more, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they are really traveling to Hungary and I don't know it, but I get the sense not.
Well, they may be thinking that the language is too hard, and it is a hard language, but Budapest, you're going to get, the waiters and the shop people are speaking English in Budapest, very, very good English. And it's a wide variety of people that live in Budapest. It's very diverse. As you go outside of Budapest, the further away you get, you may get more German speaking and Hungarian speaking people, but I know of different places where they have tour guides that come from the universities in Budapest to be English translators and will help anybody who wants to go on a tour further away, like to the wine regions or these parks, so that they people don't have to feel like, well, I don't know the language and I'd be nervous in that country. It's really, people are very warm and friendly there, actually. I've always had good experience with Hungarians.
Oh, yeah. Well, this has been really interesting, Diane, and I really appreciate you coming on the show to talk about Hungary. I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot from your Facebook page, which has a lot of information on it. And maybe if you give that Facebook address out once again for people.
Okay, well, it's www.facebook.com/gettinghungary. It's GettingHungary, and it's also the same for Instagram. Twitter is at Magyar Girl. That's a little bit Magyar Girl, or it's at the other one is now Getting Hungary 2017, which I think they shortened to at Hungary 2017 to follow on Twitter. That's a new one, so there's not much posted there yet. I'm waiting for when I'm on my way there, and actually Air Canada flies direct to Budapest from Toronto during the summers, and I think that's probably a better way. That's why I'm going that way, because I can fly from New York to Toronto in an hour or less, and then from there go direct to Budapest. It normally, if I have to go on another airline, I have to change after I've slept on the plane at like 7 in the morning over in Milan or Helsinki or Poland, and then wait for another flight. So I think just being able to be on a direct flight and sleep is much better.
How long of a flight is that from Toronto to Budapest?
Well, when I used to go, they used to go direct from New York when Hungary had their own airline, and it was only 8 to 9 hours. So I imagine it's about that. I don't have my itinerary with me, but if I have to go on a flight from the US, from New York, say, to Europe and then to Budapest, those flights can be, I think, minimum 11 and a half hours. So I think it's faster going direct from Toronto than it would be flying from New York to another European city and then waiting for a flight to Budapest. And you're tired, you know, you've been on a long flight, you're jet lagged, and having to find your way around an airport in Europe is not always, you know, comfortable, especially if you go through London. London can be intimidating.
That's huge. Well, once again, I thank you so much for coming on and sharing your experience with Hungary with all of us and all those travel agents out there. Hopefully their ears perked up a little bit about the beautiful country of Hungary. So, Diane, I want to thank you, and maybe we can have you back after you get home after Labor Day.
That would be great. And again, if anyone wants to sponsor any of my posts and, you know, give me the information about their services, I'd be happy to do that and talk to them about that. And I can give you my email address one more time. It's Dobry, D as in David, O, B as in boy, R Y, D as in David, F as in Frank, at gmail.com. And I'm happy to answer any questions. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, thank you, Diane, for being a
You're
part of
so
the Home
welcome.
Base Travel Agent Show. And I want to thank you, our listeners, for taking the time to listen. And we really appreciate that. And we value your input. So please let us know what you think about the show. Or maybe you have a comment for us or a comment for our guests. And you can leave comments on the website at hometravelagent.net or send me an email at barry@hometravelagent.net. In addition, if you have an idea or a topic for the show, please let us know, and we will do our best to accommodate your request. Again, let us know at Barry, Barry, at hometravelagent.net. Also, if you have an opportunity, go over to iTunes and locate the Home Base Travel Agent show, and you can do that by search for Travel Agent in iTunes, and our show will appear. And leave us a review. And we really appreciate any kind of a positive review you could leave for us at iTunes. It really helps us out, and it helps us increase our listeners and spread the word about the travel trade industry. So, thank you for that. So, next month, we're going to have another valuable topic for you, and we're going to return to our theme of Alaska. And we're focusing on Alaska because the NACTA annual conference, as I mentioned in the intro to the show, the annual conference is in Anchorage, Alaska. So we're staying somewhat on a theme about Alaska. So next month, we're going to be talking about a very interesting idea that you can use for your clients, and they will absolutely love you for it. So in the meantime, until next month, travel safe, stay healthy, and we will see you in June. Thank you for listening.